And that's what we want to sing about right now, about his wonderful name. Why don't we stand together one more time and sing His Name is Wonderful. The name of Jesus.
His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord.
Let's sing it together again.
His name.
Continue singing one more song about his name. It's called Jesus, Your Name.
Jesus, your name is power. Jesus, your name is might. Jesus, your name will break every stronghold. Jesus, your name is life. Jesus, your name is healing. Jesus, your name gives sight. Jesus, your name will free every captive. Jesus, your name is life.
Let's sing an a cappella the last verse.
Jesus, your name is holy. Jesus, your name brings light. Jesus, your name above every other. Jesus, your name is life.
And you can be seated.
Kent, thank you very much. Praise team, praise band. Nancy, wow, that choir special, wasn't it great this morning? That was dynamite. Thank you all so very much. And Elias, thank you. Appreciate that ministry this morning as well. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 18. Proverbs. Chapter 18. Get your listening sheets out. There's a correction we need to make on the listening sheet. I'll tell you that when we get to it. And go ahead, get your listening sheet out and a pen or pencil. Well, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our time of worship this morning already. And thank you for your sweet presence. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit would just prevail in this place today in an obvious way. Father, I thank you for this message from your word. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I just pray that you would apply the principles and the precepts of this message to every one of us in our own spiritual journey, and especially to our church. I pray, Father, that you would give us insight and revelation knowledge today as we understand what your spirit wants to say to us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14. Here's what it says. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? I want to explain to you today about a wounded spirit. Many of us in life, in one way or another, at one time or another, have had a wounded spirit. It happens a lot in churches, but it happens to us individually. It happens to us in our individual walk. You'll understand that as we go throughout this message today. It's like invasive surgery. It really hurts. But ultimately, there can be and there needs to be a healing that takes place. Now, over the years, my wife and I took advantage of opportunities to have vacations and to go different places on vacations. We went to Florida a lot and spent some time there, spent a lot of time on the beaches. One year when we were there and our boys were pretty young, and we were walking along that sandy beach, just enjoying the sand and the ocean and the waves, and me and the boys saw these bubbles that were coming up from the sand, just underneath the sand. And just as boys would be inquisitive, we dug a little bit, and we didn't have to dig very far until we found some type of, sort of looked like a jellyfish type thing to us, or some type of sea urchin, jellyish. And so we got to playing with them. And then the next day, we found a stick. And so the bad Scribner boys, three of us, would walk along in that sand, and we'd find those bubbles coming up, and we'd dig up those urchins, those jelly type fish. And we had that stick with us, and we'd poke. We'd poke that thing. And as we did that, that sea animal would sort of curl itself up around itself. Obviously a self-protection type mode. And man, I mean to tell you, I guess it's a boy's thing. I don't know. We'd poke that thing. And it would deflate with a little hissing sound. And I mean, we just had a lot of fun. We'd go on down, we'd find another one, and we'd poke that thing, and it'd hiss a little bit, curl up around itself, and deflate. Now, please don't call PETA. It was a long, long time ago. I don't do anything like that anymore. Well, maybe with cats, but I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding. You know, this illustration is somewhat picturesque regarding a similar picture that exists in it exists in many marriages. It exists in families. It certainly exists in churches. I think it has existed in this church before, and certainly in individual lives. And there's a tremendous need for spouses and family members and individuals and church members to have a refreshing of their spirit. That's the title of the message today, and ultimately that's what I hope comes out of what I'm going to share with you over the next few minutes. Many people need an immediate refreshing within their spirit. You may have come that way this morning. You may have come saying, well, okay, it's Sunday, I got to go to church, or it's my routine, and that's okay. I assure you, we're glad you're here, but you may have come needing a refreshing of your spirit, an immediate drink of the cool waters of the well of living water within us. Many, many times we need that, and many people have been caused to deflate and curl up around themselves because they have a wounded spirit. Okay, take your outline. Here's number one. The causes of a wounded spirit. The causes of a wounded spirit. Now, a wounded spirit is one of the major causes of defeat and discouragement and depression and even divorce within a marriage relationship. A wounded spirit. It's also very prevalent in family relations. It's certainly prevalent in church relations. As I said earlier, just moments ago, I'm confident that some of you through church, through this church, have had a wounded spirit. That can happen. It's tragic. It's unfortunate. But it happens in a lot of churches. I'm confident that it's happened here at First Baptist, and maybe even in the last couple of years, or maybe even further back than that. But unfortunately, it certainly happens in church settings and church environments, and it's many times in business relationships it can happen, and in social relationships or just in individual relationships. A wounded spirit can be caused in a variety of ways, but primarily it is simply caused by something that is said or something that is done to another individual. A wounded spirit is simply a hurt that is inflicted upon someone else's spirit. A hurt that is inflicted upon someone else's spirit. It can be caused in a variety of ways. Now, a wounded spirit, and I think I've got this on the screen for you. So let's have the next. Here it is. Let me read this to you. Wounded spirit comes as a result of a reaction to negative words, events, actions, or a violation of your person or rights. A reaction that crushes you, knocks you down, and from which you cannot seem to rise. It crushes an area of your life, your spirit, which is quite devastating in how it affects us. All right, now before I go any further, I want to clarify something. It's vitally and extremely important that you hear everything that I'm going to say today in this message. Listen to all four points. Now, that's where I want to apologize to you. Your outline today shows you in print 3 points. I'm going to give you 4 points. I'll tell you when we get to the right place to how to fill that in. But I'm going to give you 4 points. It's important that you listen to all 4 points. And don't draw any conclusion, please, about any one statement taken in and of itself. Listen to the totality of this message as a unit of thought. Now, I just pointed out to you that a wounded spirit is usually caused by words or actions, and sometimes even non-actions. You'll understand that again as we go along today, but sometimes even non-actions can cause a wounded spirit. Now, here are some examples of some words that could easily cause a wounded spirit in the right circumstances. I'm just going to rattle off some words, and the reality is some of you have heard these in your life. Some of you have received these in your life. Some of you have experienced these. But here are some potential words, and there's lots of them. I'm just going to give you several, but there's lots and lots of words that can be so hurtful. But words like, I hate you. I don't love you anymore. You can't do anything right. I wish you had never been born. You're worthless. Why can't you be like... In comparison, then they finish that by saying, why can't you be like so-and-so? You're stupid. Here, let me do that. You'll mess it up. Here's a good one. Hurtful nicknames. Hurtful nicknames. Especially when we're young, we get those things, but not always when we're young. Hurtful nicknames. I don't want you. We should have never gotten married. And only God knows the words that come out of church business meetings. You ever had any of those kind where instead of a moderator, you should have hired a referee? And in the heat of a moment or in a reactionary statement that somebody makes, it comes out hurtful. You ever been there? And you know, these things happen from parents, brothers and sisters, peers, spouses, employers, teachers, children, your significant other, fellow church members. And we could go on and on with statements that could illustrate how words can cause a wounded spirit. Now, here's some examples of how some actions could cause a wounded spirit. Actions. Divorce. Some of you have been through divorce. Some of you are divorced now. Marital separation can be just as devastating. Father or mother abandoning you. I used to joke about the fact that my parents moved 7 times when I was growing up, but I found them every time. And then I was visiting with Alan at our church in Branson, and he heard me say that, and he said, some of these days I'm going to buy you a cup of coffee and tell you my story. So I did that. I made it a point to do that, and I'm telling you, Alan, phenomenal man of God, principal at the high school for a long, long time, took a great stand for God at the high school. And his story is unbelievable. Literally, he came home from school one day in the 7th grade, and his parents had moved. And he had no idea. He had no idea they were moving. It was 3 months later before he found them. I'm talking about actions now that can really wound your spirit. Adoption. No matter how loving of a home you provide. Some of you here are adopted. And let me tell you, what an honor. What a phenomenal honor for you to be adopted. Talk to me about that. And I'll explain that statement to you. Some of you are adopted. And no matter how loving your home is or was or has been, when children realize and discover they're adopted, that can be a devastating, wounded spirit. Adultery. Adultery, when your husband or wife finds out that you've not been faithful. Physical abuse. Sexual abuse. Pornography. Being unresponsive to someone through your body language. Or maybe just actually ignoring or avoiding someone. Man, that happens a lot after church skirmishes. When we're downtown or at Walmart, and it becomes quite apparent to you that they rush down another aisle. Abortion. When you had your abortion, or when your girlfriend had an abortion. Maybe you chose that, or maybe you were pressured into doing that. But the wound that you inflicted upon yourself in that choice. The premature death of a loved one. That is so hard to understand. Demotion at work, or maybe you got fired. Like the guy that came home and told his wife, I'm not going back to work tomorrow because I can't work for that man anymore after what he said to me today. And she said, what did he say? He said, you're fired. Yeah. Maybe the way people have reacted to you because of your physical appearance. Or because of your emotional lack of development. A a rape. Well, there are many, many other actions or non-actions that can cause a wounded spirit. Now, the bottom line of someone who causes a wounded spirit, the bottom line of someone who causes a wounded spirit is this. It's selfishness. That's bottom line. Someone who causes a wounded spirit is selfishness. Selfishness is what motivates someone who actually causes a wounded spirit. Now, we live in a world of insensitive people because we are self-centered people. And it's out of our self-centeredness, our selfishness, that we would allow ourselves to actually wound someone else's spirit. Now, I find that when individuals have a wounded spirit, whether it's in a marriage relationship or as parents or as children or simply individuals, it is because the person who has wounded their spirit has acted in a self-centered perspective. Now, I want to make two other statements at this point that I want us to understand very explicitly. And that is this. I want you to understand the difference between a wounded spirit and a convicted spirit. It's important for us to understand that before we go on with this message. The difference between a wounded spirit and a convicted spirit. It is not a wounded spirit if, in fact, the Holy Spirit is using a statement or an action to convict you of an area of your life where there is a need for repentance. Now, let me repeat that. It is not a wounded spirit if, in fact, the Holy Spirit uses a statement or an action in order to convict you of an area of your life that genuinely needs repentance. Someone may be speaking the truth in love to you, and you need to hear it and heed it. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, to convict you of your need for repentance. And if you go away with what you think is a wounded spirit because someone has simply spoken the truth in love, and you know that that person loves you, and you know that that person wants the best for you, then you need to evaluate your own spiritual understanding of that circumstance. I hope you understand what I just said. Conviction that ought to lead to repentance. That's what God wants to work in our lives. Now, here's the other thing I want you to grasp. We receive a wounded spirit when we allow words or actions to overcome the inner peace of the abiding Holy Spirit within us. And I'm going to repeat that one also. And that is this, that we receive a wounded spirit when we allow the words from someone or the actions of someone to overcome the abiding peace that can only come about through the Holy Spirit of God who lives within us. Now, don't misunderstand me. Sometimes that's hard. Because when someone says something to you in such a hurtful way, or when someone does something to you in such a hurtful way, it's easy to respond naturally instead of supernaturally. And the only way you can respond supernaturally is to allow the Holy Spirit to help you put up a guard and say, hey, don't believe that lie. Don't believe what that person, and you'll understand that more here in just a few moments. When the Holy Spirit says, don't believe that lie. And the Holy Spirit puts his arm around you and says, you know what? Don't react wrongly to that. So I hope you're understanding all that. And by that last statement, I want to encourage you to understand that even if someone gives you a cause to have a wounded spirit, you can still overcome that through the inner peace of the abiding Holy Spirit. All right, now I'm ready for point number two, and don't panic. Points two, three, and four aren't going to take half a day like point one did, okay? Here's number two. And that is the condition of a wounded spirit. The condition of a wounded spirit. Now, in the Hebrew language, the word that's used here for wounded means smitten or afflicted. Smitten or afflicted. So the condition of a wounded or broken spirit is that you have a smitten spirit or an afflicted spirit. And it's exactly what I illustrated earlier to you when those three bad Scribner boys were breaking, inflicting hurt, inflicting pain, causing that jelly-type fish to curl up around itself in a self-protection mode. And the reality is some of you have done that in your life because you've been smitten, because your spirit's been broken, because of some word or some action that's been said or done against you. And all you've known to do is just a natural response of drawing yourself into yourself. And I'm going to show you some other things here in just a moment of how we might react when someone has come to hurt you either deliberately or just by happenstance because of maybe the heat of a business meeting or the heat of a reaction or something that someone has just blurted out of their mouth or somebody or something that they did to you. And man, you were afflicted, you were hurt with that. And the condition of a wounded spirit, now listen to this, is such that if you do not find a cure for it, and I'm going to share that with you, that's going to be point number four. If you do not find a cure for it, it can destroy your marriage, your parenting, your children, your church, your business, almost every relationship that you have is subject to destruction because of a wounded spirit. That's why many divorces occur. That's why many individuals are fired from their jobs. That's why many people become disgruntled in a church environment and they take off and leave the church and looking for something better. That's why many children run off and get married prematurely. That's why many children end up rebellious. That's why some parents end up with emotional breakdowns. That's why some people turn to drugs. That's why some people turn to alcohol. That's why some people turn to sex outside of marriage. That's why some people have uncontrolled anger. It's because of something that's been said or an action that's been leveled against somebody, and they never did find the cure for it. All right, now I'm ready to give you point number three, and you're going to have to write that in. Right in point number three. I know it says three down there, but number that four, the one that you have on your listening sheet, number that as four. And then here's number three, the consequences of a wounded spirit. The consequences of a wounded spirit. Everybody following the outline I've given you? And I apologize for the misstatement here. So number three is the consequences of a wounded spirit. Now, I'm simply going to list several words, and you've got them right there on the screen for you. But I'm going to list several words that will show you the consequences of a wounded spirit. Now, you may recognize these words within your own character. Or maybe you'll recognize these words as being the character trait of someone that you love, or someone close to you, or someone within your family, or someone in some relationship, your business, or socially, or someone that is on your, in your job with you, or maybe in your school with you, or maybe in your church. And so consequently, you need to evaluate whether or not you or someone else has experienced a wounded spirit. So let me go through these consequences. Characteristic consequences. And let me also say to you that there's a multitude of ways that these can be manifested. There's a multitude of ways that these can be manifested. So look at these. Rebellion. Now, by the way, rebellion doesn't have to be active rebellion where someone reacts and goes at your throat. It's like the little boy that was told by his teacher, "Now you sit down." I said sit down. I mean sit down now. So finally, the little boy sat down. But he thought to himself, "I'm just doing this because she's a lot bigger than I am. Inside, I'm standing up." Have you ever said that? Inside, I'm standing up. That's rebellion, my friend. It may be passive rebellion. Rebellion, retaliation, revenge. And I'm telling you, these things can show up in a multitude of ways. Defeat, depression, disobedience, withdrawal, bitterness. See, the reality is there are people here today that have bitterness, and it may be long-standing. And it can come about through that wounded spirit. It may have happened a year ago. It may have happened 20 years ago. But you've never found the cure, and you still got a bitter spirit. Resentment, anger, hostility, oppression. Here's three or four more to add. Short-tempered. Lashing out in reaction. Physical abuse. And there are a number of other consequences, but these are probably some of the most prevalent consequences. Now, please understand that the tragedy, now before I go to the final point, understand that the tragedy of these consequences is that they really end up causing the one who has been offended or wounded. Now follow what I'm saying here. I've been offended. I've got a wounded spirit because of some selfish person that said something or did something. I'm the one that got hurt. I've got a wounded spirit. These consequences show up in my life. Now, here's what I want to say to you. And the tragedy is that when these consequences are manifested in my life, who's the one that gets hurt more? I do. So it's a wound upon a wound. Everybody following this? It's a wound upon a wound. I'm the one that gets hurt more. I'm the one that more pain is caused, more harm is done, more defeat, more difficulties. And so again, for your sake, it is vital that we discover the cure for a wounded spirit. That's point number four, and that's what I want to share with you. It won't take me long to share this. The cure for a wounded spirit. Everybody with me on your outline? Again, I apologize for the misprint, but I just gave you point number three. Now I'm giving you point number four, which is on your outline there, marked as number three. So mark that number four, and here it is, the cure for a wounded spirit. And I want to share these five things with you, and I want you to write them down. These five things. Number one, face the facts. Face the facts. Now, again, I want to encourage you at this point to understand that you need to differentiate between a wounded spirit and a convicted spirit. If it's a genuine wounded spirit, then you must determine if you are going to allow words or actions to overcome the inner peace of the abiding Holy Spirit. Now, I made a statement or two about that moments ago, and I said to you that you're the one that allows that, and it's easy. It's easily done. It's easy for that to happen because we react naturally instead of supernaturally. But we need to determine, are we going to allow words or actions to overcome the inner peace of the abiding Holy Spirit? And we need to admit the problem and how you got to where you are and who is to blame, and then deal with reality. Deal with reality. If it's a convicting spirit, and you just need to recognize the source, and the source of a convicting spirit is the Holy Spirit of God. And the only reason God's going to give you a convicting spirit through the work of His Holy Spirit is because He flat out loves you. He knows where you need to change. And He wants to lead you in that area of repentance to where that can happen in your life. And so it's actually a good thing. A very, very good thing. But if it's a convicting spirit, we need to recognize the source and allow God's Holy Spirit to work repentance. Bottom line here, point number one, is get honest with yourself. Get honest with yourself. Don't hide behind your emotions. Don't play the blame game. Say, well, the reason I am here is... No, just get honest with yourself. Let's face the facts. Let's face the facts here. Okay, here's number two. Number two, forgive the offender. Now, when you write that down on your page, here's what I want everybody to do. After the word offender, forgive the offender, I want you to put 10 exclamation points. Put them down. Come on. Put 10. Count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Put them down there. Forgive the offender. Now, you must be Christ-like in your ability to forgive that person. Now, here's something interesting. The one you need to forgive may even be God. There's somebody here today mad at God. I understand. I'm a pastor. I assure you, I've had those people in my office, and I've said, You're flat out ticked off at God, aren't you? And normally that's when the dam breaks and the eyes do more than just a little leaking. Sometimes it's a real gush. And I've held that person in my arms and I've said, you know what? Why don't you tell God how angry you are at him? I said, it's not going to surprise him. And you're hearing this preacher say, that's okay. It's okay to be ticked off at God. That's all right. God's a big God. He's got big shoulders. I'm saying to you, at point number two, when I say forgive the offender, sometimes even the offender is God. Because of something that happened that you just flat out don't understand. And you're thinking, hey, God had control over that. Why didn't he take care of that? And I'll be honest with you, there's a whole lot of things I don't have an answer for. Other than to tell you, we live in a sin-infested world. If you want to be angry at somebody, why don't you choose Adam? I can't tell you publicly some of the things I have said to him. Now listen very carefully. You need to forgive that person. Whether or not he or she ever asked for your forgiveness. Did you hear what I just said? And whether they ever deserve it. Most times they don't. Most times they don't deserve your forgiveness. Wow, that's just like me and God. I don't deserve his forgiveness. So I hope you heard what I just said. You need to forgive, whether they ever ask and whether they deserve it. Your forgiveness needs to be a genuine act of your will where you are able to trust God to be the revenger and avenger of your life. Your forgiveness needs to be totally Christ-like in the way that Christ has responded to you when he went to the cross of Calvary in order to die to pay for your sins. Your forgiveness is the key. Say the word key with me. Key to your release from a wounded spirit. John Bevere, in the book The Bait of Satan, reminds us that we can be held captive by resentment because someone has offended you. Be held captive. And then he goes ahead to say, when we practice forgiveness, we escape Satan's grip. And we escape and we experience reconciliation and we remain free in Christ. All right, here's the third thing. I'm sharing with you five things about the cure for a wounded spirit. Number three, build a foundation of biblical truth. Build a foundation of biblical truth. You need to build the rest of your life on the foundation of biblical truth. Say truth with me. Truth. If in fact someone has wounded your spirit, then that is because you have allowed words or actions to overcome the inner peace of the abiding Holy Spirit. Therefore, from now on, you must receive your commendation in life totally based on the foundation of biblical truth. Consequently, it won't matter what other people say as long as you know what God says about you. Amen. Biblical truth. It won't matter what other people do as long as you are receiving the applause of heaven. Here's number four. Focus on Christ. Focus on Christ. You do not need the security and the resources and the commendation of anyone on this earth to meet your needs when, in fact, your sufficiency is in Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Amen. We need to get to the place where we firmly and fully believe that. My sufficiency is in Jesus Christ. I'm not dependent upon anything or anyone on this earth. Here's the final thing. Fellowship with God. Fellowship with God. I'm giving you five things for the cure for a wounded spirit. And if you don't find that cure, my friend, it'll destroy your life. It'll destroy that relationship. It can destroy more than one relationship. You need to find your security in the strong, eternal, loving arms of your Heavenly Father. Now look at this verse once again. We're in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14, where it says, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity." The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. So don't focus on the wound. I know that's what we naturally want to do. I'm saying to you, don't focus on the wound, but focus on the one who was wounded for our transgressions and by whose stripes we are healed. Those five things. The cure for a wounded spirit. And from this point on, let's go hand in hand, heart in heart, and let's just enjoy a walk on the beach. Let's not look for something upon which we could inflict pain. Let's let God heal our pain and our spirit. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the truth of your word. Thank you for who we are in Christ and in relationship with one another. Father, if we've been the cause of a hurt, of a wound to someone's spirit, help us to be man enough or woman enough to go to that person in the love of Christ and seek forgiveness. And Father, if we've been hurt, and so many people have, help us to look to you. You were wounded for our transgressions. By your stripes, we are healed. Help us to find that healing. Mend that broken spirit today by your sweet love and grace. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's do this. Thank you for your attentiveness. Thank you so much for hearing this message today. I know it's spoken to some hearts. You may just want to come and spend some time with God and just ask God to help you to walk through those 5 points of that last point, number four, and begin today. It may not happen immediately. It might, but it may not happen immediately. But begin that process and ask God to give you that cure. Ask God to give you that cure for that wounded spirit. Now, I'm going to ask Pastor Jim to be here in just a moment. If you need saved today, if you need to join this church, if you need to be baptized, or just a special need that he can pray with you about, I'm going to ask him to do that. And I'll tell you what we're going to do. And I haven't asked my wife to do this, but she'll gladly help me with this. I'm going to ask her to stand up here with me, just over here. I'll be over here. And ladies, if you need to come and just have somebody pray for you because of the message, and you don't have to come up and tell all your story. You don't have to tell any of your story. I've shared with you the 5 points of the cure. That's where you need to be. But if it just helped you, if somebody prayed for you. So ladies, if you'd like to come to Kay, and she'll pray for you. Men, if you'd like to come to me, I'll pray for you. You don't have to tell me a story. You don't have to go into any detail. None. Just say, you know, man, pray for me. I've got this wounded spirit, and I need to find the cure. Okay? So Jim will be here. If you've got a general decision or specific personal decision you want to make, then come and do that. And Kay will be over here. I'll be over here. We'll just see what God does with this. We want to pray for you if you need that, okay? So when we stand in just a moment, just plan on coming, and if we can pray for you, okay? And we'll look for you tonight, and some of you, many of you, will be here at 5 this afternoon. Got a great Bible study in Nehemiah. We're doing it 6 tonight. So plan on taking advantage of all that. You have a wonderful week. And right now, I think God's spoken to hearts today, because a wounded spirit affects us in such a hurtful way, and it affects a lot of us. So if we can help you, if we can pray with you, and we're ready to do that. All right, so Kay, if you'll join me here, and Jim, if you'll be right here, and let's stand together. We're going to sing. You just come on.
The cross, there a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mouth. Soul shall find rest. Be- tears.